Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to continue going through the book of 2 Samuel, and we're going to continue talking about David and going through his life and seeing what we can learn from David. So we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 1, and this is the story about David going and getting the Ark of the Covenant. In verse 1, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of Yahweh of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Aho, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahaho went before the Ark. I want to pause here for a moment. Now remember, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant from Israel because they knew that the Ark of the Covenant signified the presence of the God of Israel, and that there is a blessing that came with the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant not only brought a blessing as in material, physical, or spiritual type deals, but the Ark of the Covenant was also used in warfare. So in capturing the Ark of the Covenant, they were taking, you could say, a sense of the defense of Israel away from them, which is why the Philistines wanted the Ark of the Covenant. But of course, because of the disobedience of Saul, they were allowed to capture the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant was no longer in the temple or in the tabernacle, actually, of Israel. Philistines had taken it. Now, we remember when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into their temple and was placed with their god, Dagon, their idol of Dagon fell to the ground and broke. They couldn't even keep the Ark of the Covenant in the same room with their idol because the living God of Israel made his presence known that he was greater than their God. So they removed the Ark of the Covenant out of their temple and it was placed somewhere else. And now David has a desire for the Ark of the Covenant to be back in its rightful place. And it's very interesting that soon upon David becoming king over all Israel, one of his first priorities was to regain access or have the Ark of the Covenant return to its rightful place. So we see the heart of David. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. His desire was for the Ark of the Covenant and for the Ark of the Covenant to be where it was supposed to be. So he's going to go and get the Ark of the Covenant. And as I said before, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. This was a place where the presence of God dwelt inside the temple and the Holy of Holies, right there where it sat above it, was where the presence of God was. And so because of that, that's why it's set in the Holy of Holies. It was very restricted on who could go in, how they could enter, because it represented his presence. It represented a very set apart place. The Ark of the Covenant was a very set apart thing because it represented the presence of God. That teaches us that the presence of God is a very set apart thing. To be in his presence is to be set apart. It's not like anything else. Okay. And if we want to approach his presence and we want to be in his presence, we have to be set apart. Nothing could come into that most holy place unless they were set apart. And anything inside the Holy of Holies had to have been set apart. So it teaches us the value of his presence. And David longed for this presence to be back in Israel, back in its rightful place, where it belonged. He had a desire for his presence. That's one of the first things that we can learn from David, is that David had a desire for God's presence. Do we have a desire for his presence in our life? And are we willing to do what it takes to have his presence in our life? Are we willing to be set apart? Are we willing to live set apart? Are we willing to bear the weight that it requires in order to have his presence in our life? And so we're going to see here, as we go through this teaching, the responsibility that comes with wanting to bear his presence. But let's look at the blessings that came. We see later on in this chapter, because David's going to go and make an attempt to get it, and he's going to fail the first time because he doesn't do it correctly. And so he stops and places the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. So let's read here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "And the ark of Yahweh remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, Yahweh has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing." So we see here that as he had left the ark of the covenant at Obed-Edom's house, 3 months it was in his house, and a report comes back to David that Yahweh had blessed his household. So because the ark of the covenant was there, they were experiencing the blessings of Yahweh. So this increased the desire of David to go and get the Ark of the Covenant. He desired to have that blessings that came. We should desire his presence. There is a blessings that come from being in his presence. Now, that does not mean that we will not face trials. It does not mean that we will not face persecution. It doesn't mean that we won't face hardship. But when we walk in his ways, we walk in set apartness, when we have a desire for his presence, we long for his presence, and we desire to spend time with him, and we're in his presence, his blessings will flow and will be evident in our life. And it will be evident unto those around us as well. People will see that his blessings are upon us. They will see that there is just something different about us, that things just seem to, for a better way of saying, just seem to flow in our lives without effort. Now, we know it's not without effort, but they can just see that there is this blessing that is upon us. There is something that is special about us. There's this joy about us. And, you know, we just seem to not lack no matter what we're going through. Now, let's read about David's first attempt to get the ark. His first attempt seems to be a little bit in haste, as if he has his desire to have his presence causes him to act in haste, maybe, but he doesn't really put a very thoughtful approach into it, maybe, or you could say he doesn't really study or do the research to see how it should be done according to Yahweh's word. So let's look here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. "And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before Yahweh with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the ark of God." So David's plan, his initial plan, was they took a cart and they placed the ark of the covenant upon the cart. They were going to bring the ark back on the cart. And so as they're driving the cart back, one of the oxen stumble, which causes the ark to fall off the cart. And so when he goes to put his hand on it to keep the ark from falling, Yahweh's anger is kindled against Uzzah. Now remember, the Ark of the Covenant is set apart. It is supposed to be dealt with in a set apart manner. He gave them instructions on how to deal with the Ark of the Covenant, how to handle it in set apartness. When something is set apart, you don't treat it as common, or you don't treat it as anything else. God's desire was not for the Ark of the Covenant to be treated like any other item that was in Israel. But see, David decided to transport the Ark of the Covenant as if it was any other item in Israel. So it teaches us with his presence. We are to treat his presence as that which is set apart, and not as just anything else. Let's look at Numbers chapter 7 and verse 9. This is what the Torah tells us about how they were told to transport the Ark of the Covenant. But to the sons of Kohath, he gave none, because they were charged with the service of the holy things that had to be carried on the shoulder. So this is the Torah. When he was given instructions to Israel, he gave them instructions on how to build the temple. And then he gives them instructions on what they were to do with the temple when it came time to tear it down or disassemble it and to carry it to the next place they go. Remember, the original tabernacle or temple was a portable tabernacle. It moved with them through the wilderness. And when they stopped where they got, they assembled the tabernacle. And then when they were moving on, they would disassemble it and they would carry it to the next place. And each son of Levi was given a role or a task and how they served as a priest and what their role was to serve when it came time to move the tabernacle. So we see here in Numbers 9 that the ones responsible for moving the holy things, that which was in the Holy of Holies, which the Ark of the Covenant falls within the things that were in the Holy of Holies, the holy things, that was to be done by the sons of Kohath. And those things were to be carried on their shoulder. They were not to be loaded on carts, to be carried through the wilderness wherever they went. The instructions as they went through the wilderness were for the sons of Kohath to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant by its design had poles on each side so men could carry it. This symbolizes and teaches us the responsibility that comes with his presence and him being with us. We don't take it lightly. We don't just place it on a cart and just move it somewhere. We have to carry the weight of his presence. We have to carry the weight of his responsibility, the responsibilities that come in order to have his presence in our lives. And what is that? That responsibility is for us to walk in set apartness. Now, we as believers in Yeshua are called a holy priesthood. We are a set apart priesthood. So any person who professes to believe in Yeshua can carry the weight of his presence as a set apart priesthood. But as that set apart priesthood, we need to be willing to carry the weight and the responsibility of his presence. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Speaking of what we get, the benefits, the blessings that come when we hold that responsibility. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, and neither is it far off. So this is what the scripture talks about, his law or his Torah. Scripture says that it is not too hard for you. So anyone who claims that the law is too hard and cannot be done, they are contradicting scripture itself. Okay. Now let's look at verse 12. Is it not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. What he's saying is his word, his instructions, they're not far off from you. They're not hidden from you. If you want to know what his commandments are, if you want to know what it means to walk in set apartness and what you need to do to bear the responsibility to have his presence in your life, it is not far from you. It is near unto you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, because they were instructed to speak of it daily. We should speak of it daily. It should be in our mouth and it should be in our heart. But nowadays, it is so easy. You have access to a Bible. You can buy paper Bibles. You have it on pretty much, you can get it on any electronic device you have. His word is very near unto us. It is very near unto us to have access to. We have no excuse not to know what his commandments are. And we should have them in our mouth and in our hearts. Now let's see what happens when we're willing to bear the responsibility of walking in his commandments. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of Yahweh your God that I command you today, by loving Yahweh your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And Yahweh your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. This was the blessings that come when you walk in obedience. These are the blessings that were being poured out upon the house of Obed-Edom that caused David to want to go back and get the Ark of the Covenant after he failed the first time. These are the blessings that should push us to desire to walk in his set apartness, that should push us to desire to carry the weight and the responsibility of his presence being in our life. Because when his presence is in our life, we get life. We have this very blessing that he's talking about here. You will live and you will multiply. He will bless you in the land. He will bless you where you are at. But if your heart turns away, if you don't want to bear the responsibility of his presence, then we no longer choose life and we choose death. And so let's look at verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to Jordan to enter and possess. So when we choose not to obey his commands, we receive death. And that's what we see in the story of them bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. They chose not to follow his word, his commands. They chose to do it their own way and what they thought was right in their own eyes. And because they did that, a man fell dead. death happened because they were not willing, or they chose not to bear the weight of his presence, to follow his commands. His commands are not given unto us to bring salvation. His commands are given unto us to bring us sanctification, to set us apart. The Torah teaches and speaks of redemption. It speaks and teaches of a Messiah. So when we actually believe in Yeshua and we put our faith in Yeshua as our Messiah, we are being obedient unto the Torah in that regard. But then he gives us these extra commands, these extra instructions, which are meant to bring sanctification, which is meant to cause us to be set apart from the world, to be different than the world. So our journey starts with first being obedient unto the Torah in the regard of believing in the Messiah, believing that Yeshua is the Messiah. And upon that belief, we are born again. We are a new creation. And then as that new creation, he's now going to write his commandments upon our hearts and upon our minds, making it ever more near unto us. And now as that new creation in him, that new man, that new woman in him, we now need to be willing to bear the responsibility of his presence in our life. And that comes with us learning what it means to be set apart, what it means to walk differently than the world. And we achieve that by walking in obedience to his commands. If you're walking in obedience to his commands, you will be different than the world. You will be different than some in religion, because there are some in religion who do not walk in his word. Okay? So his word sets us apart. And when we choose to walk in that set apartness, life follows, blessings follow. His presence is there. But when we choose not to, we will see the result of that. And that result for them was, he told them, but if you draw away to worship other gods, if you reject me, or you could say in our sense, if you draw away from me and seek to be conformed to this world instead of being transformed into the image of my son, Yeshua, then you will not live long in the land. Israel was vomited out of the land because of their disobedience. We will lose his presence. We will not be able to experience his presence. We will not experience his blessings, but instead we will experience a curse. We will experience death if we choose to be conformed unto this world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua. Now let's go back to 2 Samuel, and we're going to read results of what happened when David chooses now to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city according to how the Torah had instructed them to do it. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And when those who bore the ark of Yahweh had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted animal. And David danced before Yahweh with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of the horn. So let's pause here for a moment. The first verse, they bore the ark of Yahweh. So this time they were carrying the ark of Yahweh upon their shoulders. They do not have it on a cart. They were carrying the responsibility, the weight of the responsibility of his presence. And they go six steps and they would sacrifice an ox or a fatted animal. So we see the praise and the worship that is happening here in this verse as they're bringing in the Ark of the Covenant back to its rightful place. Praise and worship is linked very closely with his presence. When we read in Revelations and we see the throne of God and we see the multitude before the throne of God, what are they doing? They're worshiping him. So we need to walk in set apartness and we need to live a lifestyle of praise and worship before him. And we will experience the presence of Yahweh in our lives. I mean, this is a scene that they're doing a sacrifice every six steps. David is dancing before Yahweh with all of his might. We see shouting and the blasting of the horns. They are making a joyful noise before Yahweh. I mean, this was a scene when you talk about praise and worship, of praising him as they were returning the ark, the presence of God, to its rightful place. Now let's read on here in verse 16. As the ark of Yahweh came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of Yahweh and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched before it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh. So we see here that the ark of Yahweh was set in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. So he had pitched a tent there. Now, David's tent at this time was slightly different than the tabernacle. We actually read later on in scripture, there is the concept of David's tent in the New Testament. So we will see that again as well. So his tent was more of a worship place of singing and dancing and instruments being used along with the Ark of the Covenant being there. It's not actually the full tabernacle at work here. But I hope this blesses you, and I hope that you are a person who is willing to bear the weight of his presence, to be willing to walk in his commands, to not treat his presence as something that is light, as something that is common, but that is something that is weighty, that is something that is set apart, that is special, that is not like anything else. And you're willing to bear the weight and responsibility of what it means to have his presence in your life. And that is to walk in obedience to his commands, to walk in set apartness, and to treat him as that which is set apart. You know, we make his name common when we try to declare his name and walk as the world walks. We set apart his name when we walk in set apartness. It is in what we do that will either put his name in vain or make his name holy. So what does your lifestyle speak of his name? Are you making his name holy, or are you putting his name in vain? Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.